Blog Talk Radio. climb a mountain, I'd swim a stream, just to be with you. Just to be with you. It's my only dream.
But my phone be blowing up, temptations on my line. I stare at the screen a while before I press decline. But she plants a seed and it still lingers in my mind. Told myself I'm strong enough to shake it and I'm trying. But I'm only human, I know loving you's a crime. If I take this cookie now, one day I'll do the time.
Slip me a Xanny at once.
Somebody.
I got the earth and the blunt.
Smoke.
I get the skirt when I want.
Girl.
I get the skirt when I want.
Girl.
Due to the money aroma.
Somebody.
My girl, she got a diploma.
Smoke.
She got white written all over. She got white written all over. All a nigga know is how to fuck a good thing up. Run from the pain, sip lean, smoke tree up. When I'm in your town, press town, hit me up. When I'm in your town, press town, hit me up. Only if you down and you slurp good D up. If the work good, I'll be back for the re-up. Hate when I creep in the phone, wake me up. Fake like I'm sleep, knowing damn well I be up. Monkey on my back and I walk 100 miles. Guilt make a nigga feel fake when he smile. Love get confused in the mind of a child. Cause love wouldn't lie like I lie and it's wild. Wanna have my cake and another cake too. Even if the baker don't bake like you. Even when the flavor don't taste like you. So I'm back mobbing with the late night crew.
All in your mind with fears that would come true. Back of my mind was you. Wishing that I could blind myself from view. And only advice for you.
Slip me a Xanny at once.
Somebody.
I got the earth and the blunt.
Smoke.
I get the skirt when I want.
Skirt.
I get the skirt when I want.
Skirt.
Due to the money aroma.
Somebody.
My girl, she got a diploma.
Smoke.
She got white written all over. She got white written all over. I'm a fake nigga and it's never been clearer. Can't see myself when I look in the mirror. Can't see myself when I look in the mirror. Can't see myself when I look in the mirror. I'm a fake nigga and it's never been clearer. Can't see myself when I look in the mirror. Can't see myself when I look in the mirror. Can't see myself when I look in the mirror.
She my number one, I don't need nothing on the side. Said that I was done for good and don't want no more lies. But my phone be blowing up, temptations on my line. I stare at the screen a while before I press decline. But she plants a seed and it still lingers in my mind. Told myself. myself I'm strong enough to shake it and I'm trying. But I'm only human, I know loving you's a crime. If I take this cookie now, one day I'll do the time.
I love her, I don't wanna lose her. I'm selfish, I know that I use her. My ego gets stroked and I bruise her. My ego gets stroked and I bruise her. My actions, I know they confuse her. At home, I look happy as usual. On the road, on my Mac, I'm a chooser. I'm an addict, I'm masking it.
Kevin's hard.
They tell me what's done in the dark will find a way to shine. I done did so much that when you see, you might go blind. What's done in the dark will always find a way to shine. I done did so much that when you see, you might go blind.
Don't
Good evening. Good evening, one and all. How are you doing this evening? Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to another installment of a Flash Week Special Edition. That's what I'm calling it. Didn't really have a lot of extra plans for a lot of the stuff that's happening, but we make them as we go. More importantly, this is Epiphany Radio Universe. The number here that you can call in is 319-527-6300. You know, press 1 to be heard. We will be doing an open mic. You can't participate. It's open conversation. It's good stuff. Now, tonight, I am so humbly blessed to bring in people I have some of the highest regards for, family, dope folks all around, people who you get around and you really get to be in the presence of what I call greatness. They kind of make me who I am, and if I can say that, because I can trust myself around them. Now, that's saying a lot, because there's only a few people I can really do that with, right? You know, because, you know, I run around with a bunch of families. Hey, 50 Ray Universe family, 50 family, Honey Drippers, and, you know, it's them. And they're incredible. So how we get down is every Tuesday and Friday, 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we get together on a Zoom, right? We go and we write, and we have these incredible discussions. We laugh, we cry, we do all these different things. And so for me, I go to In Sunrise Scribe because it's the place where my soul rests. And I know I might be saying a lot, but that's how I feel. I'm around so many brilliant people, just brilliant, beautiful souls. So some of the people that we're going to have on tonight, you know, is, M.A. Dennis, or Dennis M.A., one of the smartest people on the face of the planet, funny as shit, doesn't even make sense how funny, like, you know when somebody's super intelligent that they just say funny stuff. That's really wild. You got to really be smart to get the joke. That's Dennis. All right. And then Queen Peace or Epiphany Divine is sick. So I don't expect to see her. If she comes tonight, I would know because you guys know, anybody knows me, I'm bad at reading numbers. So I'm just going to open a bunch of mics and open the best. All right. Then there's the gangster, Shauna T. Melton. An artist of beyond compare and just amazing but funny. And recently she's been pushing the envelope with music, just giving me stuff dying of her that just blows my mind each and every time, which has gotten me back into DJ. More on that coming later. But really dope. The super intelligent brother Bill Holmes, I mean, just really super dope. Just crazy pen. Right. There's my sister Christine Jean Blaine. I don't expect to see her tonight. She's in Haiti. CPSO, who's also in Atlanta. Of course, Tiaka B. Wright, who I've known since forever. And of course, my twin, Basiwe Luana Freeman, the Brain Trust, aka Afro Queen. Amazing. Kindred Spirit, Twin Flame. You know, the ringleader. Amazing. So let's get to it. Let's open up these mics, right? And we're gonna see what we got. And make sure if you want to participate, you raise your hand by pressing 1. And that's how you get into the chat. So we're going to start opening people's mics up. First mic, I know this person. This is one of my best friends. One half of my favorite Philly Johns. Danielle, are you there?
Hey, I'm here.
All right, this is Pivy Ray Universe M, of course, and we know anything else. So we're going to go over here to Area Code 484. Area Code 484, who master speaking?
Yes, this is Bill Holmes. Hello.
Hey, what's happening, Bill?
I'm good. How are you,
Bobby? I'm great. I'm super great. I know this number. This is Rare Epiphany. Rare, are you there?
I am. Hey, what's up? What did you
do?
My co-conspirator. My co-conspirator. It's the person who does everything bad with me. I'm a co-conspirator. Wherever he goes, I'm just doing bad stuff with him. Usually I'll be like, I got a bad idea. She'll be like, yeah. I go, well, you should do it. All right. Peace, this is you, right?
I'm here.
Peace and blessings,
y'all. Got you. All right. And area code 645, I don't know who that is. But who is that? Area code 645? Area code
645. Queen
Peace. I thought you wasn't. Yeah, I can hear you. I thought you was not. You was under the weather. I didn't expect to see you.
I am under the weather, but I'm here.
All right. I think Dennis is here, too. I think he's here, but I'm gonna see if he's here.
I'm here.
Dennis, are you here?
I'm here. Yeah, right, do I have to press anything?
All right. Well, I saw it was you. I figured it out. You didn't have to press nothing. I got you.
Okay.
All right. Good people. Family. What's good? How are we doing this evening?
All right.
Beautiful.
Wonderful.
All right. So it's been a distinct pleasure to get you guys all on here and to let this conversation roll and to actually listen. Last time I was like a little mixed up, plus under the weather. It worked out the way I wanted, but everything happens in God's time, and I think it works out. So we're rocking. Dennis, is that you?
I'm 917.
Yeah, I know. I mean, like, with the noise in the background. I know.
Yeah, that's me. That's
I know
African
that's you.
Drums in the background. African drums.
Come on. All right.
Just pretend it's the African drums.
Just pretend it's the African drums. Is that what we're doing? All right. So
that's what we're doing.
So I'm going to do this whole thing. Matter of fact, I'm going to do something I haven't done before. I've got this music in the background. And we're just going to get to it. So I'm going to ask Feast the question first, and then I'm going to let the question hit everybody else. So Feast, right? The whole idea of doing Somebody Scribe started out you doing writing on Instagram, you know, getting up early in the morning and then just having whoever's on Instagram come in and write with you, right?
Right.
Besides that and the purpose of that, right, what did you think would serve a greater purpose in doing the Somebody Scribe direct?
I believe that whatever I experience or whatever I feel, I'm not alone in that. And that if there's something that is pulling me and saying this is valuable to me, there's probably someone else out there who feels the same way. And so it felt like sacred space. It felt like renewing energy to get up first thing in the morning with the sun and to write, because writing is so powerful. And I always say, for me, writing is medicine. And so I figured that if I created a thing in the morning for myself to write, because it was something that I really needed over the years, I had drifted away from writing. I wasn't writing the way that I wanted to. That other people would come and be drawn to the same feeling of sacredness first thing in the morning, and the reverie for writing that early, get your fresh thoughts out. And I believe in building community. And I said, you know, I don't want to do this on my own. I would love to do it with other people who feel the same way that I do. So that's how it came about.
Okay. Now I'm going to go to the scribe. Let me start with Bill, because I don't really get a chance to talk to you as much. So, Bill, when you joined the scribe, how did it make you feel? to be taking part in a writing community as it is?
It felt great for me because I'm very passionate about my writing, and just even with community where you have like-minded kindred spirits, and to be able to be in a safe space where you're respected, because I've been in writing groups where that hasn't always been the case, and where sometimes when feedback is given, some people don't necessarily know how to give proper constructive criticism or feedback, or they're just about themselves and they just want to be heard and just leave the room. But it felt really, it feels like home. And because I've known Fasiway for so many years, and also I knew Shauna coming up, going up to Connecticut to do poetry up there, but then just meeting everyone, yourself, Dennis, Tiffany, and I do work first thing in the morning, but I have my moments where on days where I'm not working and days where I'm supposed to be working, I'll come in and do what I got to do. Because like Fasiway says, it's just like, it's a great way to start your day off, just having that, getting that energy out. And I'm sorry for taking up too much time.
No, you didn't take up any much time at all. No, this is the space where we, for all of us to talk and for all of us to share. You know, so it's absolutely fantastic to do so. Okay, so I'm going to go from you. I'm going to go over to Queen Peace if you feel well enough to talk.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes.
So life grounds me, grounds my writing. I wanted to be the kind of writer that wakes up every morning and writes, but when I discovered that I was not, I felt I needed to have an anchor, something that puts me in that seat to where I write. And we're talking just like not stuff that I'm working on or stuff that I'm editing, but like fresh new stuff, new ideas. So Sunrise Cry for me has become that anchor for my writing. Tuesdays and Friday mornings, get up, it's Sunrise Cry. It's Sunrise Cry. I gotta write. And it has been an opportunity of growth for me. Just camaraderie between the writers and the group. Just, I don't know, it's just an amazing experience. And I'm thankful for the Seaway, Queen, Afro Queen, for coming up with this idea and being led by the Spirit to offer this amazing platform.
Super fantastic. All right. Rare.
Yes, sir.
Are you there? So you were the newest people coming into the Sunrise Tribe. So how does it feel for you?
I'm the tribe baby. It is amazing. I've never been a part of something so very intentional and cathartic, right? Get up in the morning, do your morning stretches and meditations, and then get up and get to look into the faces of like-minded people, and in the quiet, we, on the same accord and on the same topic, write, just open up ourselves and our pens and our typewriters and paper and just write. And I'm always amazed at how people can look at the same lines, at the same prompts, the same ideas, and grow very different flowers from their pens. It is peace. It is It is, it's a beautiful experience. I miss it when I can't come, and sometimes I'll just roll in and pilfer the props. But it is amazing, and I'm so very blessed and happy that I was introduced to the fam. I thank you for entrusting this family with me. I find myself very possessive of it. You know, when people ask me about it, I'm like, I don't know. Should I let them in? Hobby? Should I tell them? I don't know. I just got to make sure that I keep the integrity of the scribe, because it's such a beautiful and peaceful place.
Okay. I'm going to go from you. I'm going to go to the brother, the wise man under the tree. Hopefully he can
talk,
because I know there's a lot of noise.
I can talk. But I'm just going to make it, I'm going to say first what Rare Epiphany said. I agree with that. And, you know, nothing happens by accident, but I was up in the wee hours at a time I normally never would be. And Afro Queen sent me a message about the Sunrise Tribe. So that was how I got in. And last but not least, I'll say this. I agree with Rare Epiphany. Like, I get kind of very protective. Like, I've wanted to maybe invite people, but I think of it like with the mafia. Because with the mafia, if you invite somebody in and it don't work out, you know what happens. I'm done. Landing my plane.
Yo, I swear to you. I swear. Dennis
wow.
does not let up at all. Matter of fact, Dennis, I'm going to start the second round of questions with you. As far as creativity is concerned, like, how does it, what does it feel like as a person who has a grand intellect to be so funny about some of the things that you choose to put in your pieces when we write props?
Well, I'll tell you this, you know, humor, that's a major coping mechanism that we use. You know, that we've had so much horrendous trauma that that is one of the main ways that we just deal with it, you know, to laugh. You know, like that saying goes, you know, you laugh to stop from crying. So a lot of times the humor is, for me, that's just a way of dealing with trauma, you know, because that's the entry point. If I had to deal with some of the serious issues and I had to really deal with them serious, it might be too much. And as far as just creativity, I mean, creativity, I think it's just all around. It's in the atmosphere. You know, creativity is like carbon and nitrogen. You know, it's just there. You know, it's just there. And I guess if you open and, you know, receptive, you know, it'll come to you. And it helps, last but not least, being around creative people. It's the energy. It's like Proverbs 27:17, iron sharp as iron. So when you are around other creative people, it brings out your creativity as well. All right, landing my two twin engine airplane.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go from you. I'm going to go back to Queen Peace. Queen Peace, how does it stoke your creativity when you're with the scribe?
Okay, say the question again.
Hold on, I got you. I'm just going to mute Dennis until I come back to him. I'm going to come back around to him. I said, how does the scribe stoke your creativity?
Well, for one, it brought up things. Sometimes things came up that I was surprised by, like the catharsis, like the healing areas that I needed to heal in. Some things, you know, like deep within myself, like that I had told nobody and I wanted to figure out how to write about it without trying to be too descriptive, but I found myself really just pouring it out there. And it's like Rare Epiphany said, it's a safe place. I felt safe. And there were many times before I said, okay, this is a safe place. I can share this.
you know, and that's the beauty of it. It is a safe place. There's no judgments there. There's no comparison as far as you should have said it like this or you should have this. It's just mostly, it's a creative space that allows for free writing, your own writing style, your own unique expression. And that means a lot to me because I don't want to fit somebody else's ideal of my for my writing. So, yeah, that's how it feels to me.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. A lot of great answers. Peace.
Yes, sir.
What does it do? Uh-huh. What's it been doing for you? I know, like, for me, I go and God get my batteries recharged. And I think it's very similar for you, but I'm not going to speak for you. What does the extreme creativity do for you in this craft?
Oh, well, for sure, you know. It's definitely a battery charge. It's also, it's like a mirror. It's like a lens. It's a way to really get a chance to see myself more and more clearly as I reveal myself to myself when I write. And it's important that the space is safe so that that can happen. But I'm doing that in the midst of friends, in the midst of loved ones who are really respectful of my process and handle me with care while I'm in that process. Because we write about a lot of things and the prompts, sometimes I think somebody else mentioned, sometimes the prompts bring up stuff that we didn't remember or that we have buried or that we prior to that moment didn't have the language to express. And being in that safety gives us the freedom to unfold that way. And so I always find it amazing coming to, like, and for me in particular, because I come up with the prompt, I have to go through this process of when I decide what the prompt is, then I have to shut my mind down because I don't want to be pre-thinking about the prompt before I start the timer and we all start writing together. And so when we arrive at the page and it's blank, and then when we get to the end of our 20 or 30 minutes, and find what has come out, man, it can be so, it can be surprising. It can be really enlightening. We go through the gamut of emotions. There have been times when we have all been in tears together, just in the intensity what we've experienced. And so for me, it's all of that. It's recharging, it's reflective, it's healing.
Absolutely. Okay, I'm going to go from you, I'm going to go to Bill. Bill, how does it feel to be in that creative environment?
It feels, and I mentioned this, it feels like a sense of safety for me, as far as like I can be free who I want to be and what I want to express my thoughts and feelings, and also just some of the prompts that I participated in just really surprised me, as far as like with sometimes you think one thing like, oh no, I'm not going to be able to get it. And just having the opportunity, just letting the pen or pencil, whatever instrument that you're using, just flow and going with it and allowing that creativity to take you to a place where you didn't expect, but just really appreciating the creative journey as opposed to just trying to arrive at a destination as getting something out onto paper, if that makes any sense. And just
no,
even like
it does.
And just even like getting like having like opportunities where we give each other feedback and it's respectful. It's not to the point where, as I mentioned earlier, where people don't know how to give proper constructive criticism. And just really it's more, there's no destructive vibes, nothing that I've ever encountered in the group. But it's all just best to, you know, to, we are there, I think Dennis said it best, iron sharpens iron. And I've been really, you know, blessed with in camaraderie and community with the writers who have been in Sunrise Scribe.
Okay. I'm going to end with you, Rare. The environment, the creativity, what it do?
Oh, wow. It gives me the chance to close my eyes and walk around in my mind. I have a very chaotic life. I have a very chaotic job. I have a very chaotic child. I work way too much. I have way too many jobs. And so the intentionality of the time and space to really sit in the quiet with my thoughts, but not alone. And I think that's the important piece, is that you don't often get the opportunity to sit with people and be quiet. To sit and to think and to fall into not just my self-consciousness, but into the collective consciousness in the virtual room. It's a chance to get to hear some things and some thoughts that have been rattling around that you never gave voice to. And the prompts kind of give you something to form these words around. So it is cathartic, and it is necessary. It is a space of real work, right? To do the inner work, to hear the inner voices that are speaking, we just never take the time to listen. And that's what this does for my creativity. It wakes up parts of me that I would not get a chance to listen to otherwise.
Wow. Well, I'm going to be the bad guy. I'm going to talk about this one thing. And I'm going to just leave it open and people can comment on it. At one point in the scribe, we did have a disruptive element. The disruptive element wasn't disruptive at all times, but I do, in my feeling, is that whenever we would share something that was close to home because we felt safe, sharing within that particular, when that person was around, didn't make us feel safe. And so, you know, two questions. One, and anybody can answer. Two questions. One, having a foreign body to the general cells in the bloodstream that is the scribe, did it feel as if, did people feel better once that element was removed? Can I say it like that?
Am I unmuted?
Yeah, I'm muted.
Okay. Yeah, so here's my thing is, I vaguely think I know what you're talking about, and I know it's good for radio, but you know, my database has been wiped clean, so you know, that Will Smith pin, I'm trying to pull up the memory of this disruptive force, but I'm getting file 504 not found. So
okay.
Yeah, I think there was a disruptive force at one time, but it ain't there no more, so. Sweet Caroline.
And I want to say,
really,
I want to say this is King Pete.
there is a very more sacred and safe feeling since that disruptive force is no longer there. It feels better.
Cool. Anyone else?
I want to say that, you know, it was definitely an opportunity for growth, for the mission and the purpose of the Sunrise Scribe to really assert what it is that the mission and purpose really was intending to be about. And so it wasn't pleasant, but it was necessary. And I really am proud of the way that we banded together and dealt with it. And I think in what I think was a very healthy way, and the fact that, you know, together we protected the integrity of the space was what was ultimately the most important thing. I, you know, struggled with the decision, but ultimately the support that I received from everybody helped me to understand that we did the best thing that we could have done.
Does anyone want to make any further comments on this? All right, well, we land the plane. All right, so good people, it's that time. It's time to number one, reason poetry. Can we get to the reason poetry? Can we get down to it?
Yeah.
I want to put my thing in. Read some good stuff. Hopefully everybody's there. Dennis, I got you. I'm going to unmute you. It's just that the background is very loud when we're doing the thing, so I'm just going to unmute you back and forth as we go, unless you can put your phone on mute and then unmute when you're ready to talk. Can we do that? Can we do that?
Well, I'm going to be actually getting off soon, but I wanted to just talk about that disruptive force before you get into the poetry. What I wanted to say is, you know, I agree with Afro Queen. It was a learning experience, because in my experience, all I've known, the only way I know how to deal with a disruptive force is what I learned from The Exorcist. The power of Christ compels you. The power of Christ compels you. The power of Christ compels you. So what I did learn from Afro Queen is I learned patience.
Yeah.
In dealing with a disruptive force. And, you know, I even, you know, black people traditionally, we haven't been good with seeking therapy, but we actually had professional help come into the Sunrise Scribe. And
okay.
the professional help taught me, professional help being Tiaka B. Wright, that it's okay to be patient with a disruptive force. But when they start jumping on your couch, that's it. They got to go. All right. I'm landing my twin engine jet, and in about 5 minutes, I'll be in a more quiet background place. So you can. I'm gonna mute my phone, so you don't gotta mute me.
All right, bet. All right, bet. All right. Yo. The power of Christ compels you. Okay. I'm wild. You gotta be smart to get these jokes. I'm sorry. All right. So, last question, and this goes out. All right. So, if you had to pick, right, everybody in the scribe, you had to pick another person in the scribe. What was your favorite poem written by that person in recent memory? What was your favorite poem written by a person in the scribe?
Okay, so I'm gonna do it like this, and I would not be lying if I said probably for the last three, probably four sessions that Rare Epiphany has been there, every single time she takes me to the mountaintop. Every single time. she gets me close to tears or twists my brain into a pret of emotion. It never fails. And it wouldn't matter which one I picked. But I will say this. She and Gangsta Butterfly, they have the same effect on me. Shauna is like she's like a Shaw woman or whatever you want to call it. She has this power to lull you with the cadence of her voice, but come out with the craziest sentiments that just rock your world. And so I can't pick between the two of them.
Wow. Yeah. So the other thing I think is like, I am generally, like, I don't know. It's like, I hear stuff from you guys that just make me sit back and just be in awe. And I'm like, you know, this is what we're doing. This is how we're doing it. It's like, it's almost like you're sitting at the biggest smorgasbord of different foods and delicacies that are presented by each masterful chef in the Scribe. So it's very hard to just say things, because there's times that the dentist has said something that made a snot bubble come out my nose, but marvel at the brilliance of how he puts things together. Like, you know, I marvel at how self-aware Queen Peace is. I marvel at that.
Mm-hmm.
I love how Rare knits the pain and the trauma of her pieces, knits into this nice warm sweater that feels bad that you know that happened to her, but she makes it so warm and knowing how she came through all of it as she's sitting before you, and the things that would break people. It's like duck off of water's back for her. That's crazy to me. I love how brilliant Bill writes in such a way that you can taste the wisdom of how he writes and everything is the description. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yep.
It's very hard. Huh? What did you say?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just having an amen corner for a minute. I'm good.
No, you can, hey, we can amen. I mean, it's a lot of different things that go into it. You know, so it's very difficult to just pinpoint anything. Does anybody feel the same?
I feel the same.
Definitely.
I want to expand a little bit more. But anybody else want to speak?
You put it in a great way. It is a buffet. It's so much to choose from. And sometimes it's not even the things we write that get me. It's the conversation in between. So many nuggets and jewels that fall out in the conversation.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this is what I want to say. I think that everyone comes to the page with their pure self. And we can taste it. Like, kind of like how you said, like, it's a buffet of the finest cuisine. We can just taste it. And I love how Dennis, like I said, I don't know where he's taking me, but I sign up for it every time. I just put my seatbelt on, I'm going for the ride, you know. Rare Epiphany, my soul sister over there, she touched on a whole lot of things that just made me cry. Like, just cry, like cry. Not like I'm angry, but more like I forgot about that inside of me. I forgot what that felt like. And the way she describes it, I could just instantly relate. And it wasn't, it's like how you said, Mojave is like a beautifully knit sweater. That just the way the words are woven together, it's like it's not offensive, but it's very direct and then very like cuddly, like this is what happened, this is how I felt, and here I am today. So in all of us, I can't say anyone has ever come without their A game. I can't even think of a time that it wasn't refreshing, that it wasn't like that I'd walked away with so many other writing ideas and thoughts and things that I didn't even consider possible. So this is a very powerful transference that happens in the conversation parts and the feedback and being asked to read it again. And what was that line? Read that line again. Certain lines punch out and just beautiful, 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 soulful writing. Like a soul food buffet.
It's the nakedness, I think. It's the way that people just come and get there. And the soul, our souls are showing in that space and that time. And so you can't help but walk away with something when someone offers you that and offers it so freely, you know?
Wow. Okay. So are we ready? Are we ready to spit some poetry? I'm gonna do the station identifier, and away we go.
Oh wait! I got to expound. Hold on.
Well,
you
gonna have to expound? Wait! You gonna have to hold the door? Because I got to do the station identifier.
Huh? Okay, do the station identifier and come back to me.
All right, I got you. So
okay. Well, you tell me what to do. You the host. I'm not supposed to be what to do. You the host. What do you want me to do? Wait or just do 30 seconds of expound?
I'm gonna do the station identifier. Then we rock it. Hold on. One
okay.
If I can find it. All right. I know where it was. Danielle, help! Can't find it. Hold on. I know where it is. There we go. All right, so this is Epiphany Radio Universe. This is Fly Speak Special Edition on Rock Scribe. Okay, welcome back to 15 Ray Universe, so for Real Entertainment Network. This is the Fly Speak Special Edition featuring the Sunrise Scribe. And I am here with the progenitor of this, Fasiway, Queen Peace, myself, of course, Rare Epiphany, M.A. Dennis, and, of course, Rare Epiphany. And we're joined by one of my bestest friends in the entire world, Danielle. And I see the boss man is down here, along with the station manager, just hanging out. But they don't have their hands up. So, you know, when they're ready, they'll put their hands up. So.
And Brother Dennis. Bill Holmes.
And Brother Bill Holmes. I didn't say, I swore I thought I said Bill Holmes. My bad. And Brother Bill Holmes. Thank you. My bad. Sorry.
No worries.
No worries.
Dennis, are we ready?
Yes,
Dennis,
I am ready.
Ready to expound. All right, expound.
Yes,
Mike, go ahead.
I want to expound on the Sunrise Tribe because everybody brings something. You know, I'm from Staten Island, a.k.a. Shaolin. So the Sunrise Tribe really is a Wu-Tang Clan situation. You cannot underestimate anybody. You know, you may think, you know, oh, it's all about Method Man, it's all about Clifford Smith. But don't sleep on Inspector Deck. Don't sleep on Inspector Deck. All right? So what I'm saying is, first of all, Afro Queen, Queen Peace, Rare Epiphany, Gangsta Flower Child, those four there, that's a sister lexicon. You hear what I'm telling you? That's a sister lexicon. Afro Queen, she just has a way of putting words together that are just so incredibly poetic. I'm thinking like, you know, she's giving Sonia Sanchez, she's giving, you know, Nikki Giovanni, this is what she's giving. Now, Rare Epiphany, I'm going to tell you something about Rare Epiphany. Rare Epiphany, it amazes me, but she will write a piece that's pretty much complete. I don't know how she does it, but she will give you a piece that's like, it's like a baby. It just come out already done. Come right out the womb. It's already ready to go. Right? And Queen Peace, she has just this incredible ability to just tap into her soul and just give you a piece of her heart, just like open her chest up and say, here you go. And, you know, and the thing about Gangsta Flower Child, who just be kind of just laying in the cut, I agree with what African said. She just has a way, her intonation, it's like she's talking to you and thinking at the same time. And, you know, I don't know what I can say about Brother Bill Holmes, because, I mean, Brother Bill Holmes, I mean, he's giving you that journalist vibe. He really reminds me a lot of Gil Noble. I've always told him, you know, we need to have the Bill Holmes show, because
wow.
When he speaks, you know, he gives you introspection, but he, I mean, it's almost like you're having a fireside chat. When Mr. Holmes is speaking, it's like a fire. We just entered fireside chat mode, right? This is like back in the day when the president would come on the radio and everybody just gathered around the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And then you, Brother Mojave, like you give me Last Poets meets Neo Soul. You know,
okay.
A lot of it's always with that rhythm. You know, I can hear the influences. It's some boom bap. It's some jazz. You know, you definitely have that beat poet. You got that beat poet energy. And you know, if I had to speak for myself, I mean, you know, you got to get in where you fit in. You got to know your life. So, you know, I do provide a lot of the common relief, and that's good. I'm good with that role. So, and I relish it. And I do my best. And that's
but let me just
I'm
about your after comedy. Your comedy is so complex. That's the thing about it that makes it so special, because it's so informed. We know you. You research stuff. You love to read. You soak up information. You just have so much curiosity about you. And the way that you utilize that comedic spirit to open up a topic and take it to a whole new place is genius a lot of the time, just genius.
Thank you.
Wow. So let's get to some poetry. Are we ready?
Let's do that.
Yep.
All right, so let's run. Huh? Let's run it down the line. We got a solid hour to rock out with our socks out. Since we have Danielle, Danielle's the first person here. Danielle, do you want to read a poem?
Sure, I'll say something.
So we'll start with you. The mic is yours.
I know it's going to be fire, because anytime it starts up that show, I'll read something. It's fire. It's coming. I know it.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, I just was playing with something right here. I'll give this to y'all. This is untitled. This is like really, really fresh ink. All right. I wasn't looking, but he came out of nowhere. Gentle, kind, thoughtful, and generous, leading with a tender touch from a firm hand. My spirit is drawn to him, and he stays on my mind because I find his intentions in my dreams, and they are just so seductive. Fantasies of our bodies touching without boundaries as my body craves and calls to him constantly. He has become my comfort, my protection, my peace. He said that I will always get this version of him because he found his perfection in the way he shows me how he's loving my imperfection. So I not only feel it's love, I know it is love, because I'm no longer in the battle between heart and head. We emanate that love together, our hearts beating as one, perfectly rhythmic and in sync, with vibrations riding the intricacies of wavelengths so high, it can almost touch source. He's my divine intervention. His spirit is my guide, and I protect his heart. Because we are in tune. That's that piece.
Did you try to get? I knew it was the okie doke, the banana and the tailpipe trick. Beautiful. That was beautiful. But I knew I'd go into enough open mics to know when the poet starts off with that disclaimer, oh, that's a little something, I don't know. That was beautiful.
Oh, thank you. I was just a little something I threw together.
Yeah. And let me tell you something. If you go to continue doing that more, I like the way that you read it. No, you probably read it that way because you're just getting used to it, but that way actually it adds something to the poem when you read it like that. When you read it like it's new every time, you know, like that hesitancy. I felt it really went well with that poem.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
I'm just gonna give it to. Wait a second. Oh, I think my thing is showing up. I thought my sound card was working. Do we have any roses for Danielle for her fresh ink?
Absolutely. Really, it was beautiful and powerful. It was one line in particular where you talked about no longer being in battle between your heart and your head. I think that's what you said.
Yeah.
That was powerful for me because I know at that moment when you stop feeling that back and forth, that moment of peace, it kind of lets you know something important. That stuck out for me. That was beautiful.
Thank you. Absolutely.
It really works.
You know, it's right. Ain't no joke.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, the best compliment I could give you, Danielle, is, you know, I would vouch for you. I'd vouch for you to join the mafia. I'm willing to vouch for you.
Wow.
I faith in you. You won't get me whacked. So if you want to join, let me know.
I will definitely holler at my hobby about that. Thank you.
But I definitely said, remember, once you're in the mafia, you can't cut out.
Oh, Lord, not they making me an offer I can't refuse.
Yeah. All right. I love it. Yeah, she said.
But then again, you may not want to leave.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's what happens. All right. All right. So here we are. We're going to move forward. And Brother Bill Holmes, it's on you. The mic is yours.
Anything? Anything of poetry?
It's wide open. It's whatever you want to write.
Okay. This is actually one of my favorite ones. It's called 10. The journaling prompt appeared and sounded simple. Write a letter to your 10-year-old self. But the task was anything but simple. Rereading the cold black words inside the sentence, words that were patiently waiting for, anticipating my response. Instead, I lost my voice. My thoughts became numb. Goosebumps rose on my forearms. Heart palpitations emerged between shortness of breaths. Fingers trembled in fear to pick up the pen. For the first time in my life, I felt afraid to write. I felt afraid to confront my 10-year-old self because there was much sadness inside his brown eyes, a traumatic concoction of depression and grief whose after effects sometimes haunts his 50-year-old adult counterpart 4 decades later. From being bullied by a fourth-grade classmate while his homeroom teacher did nothing to stop the abuse, to the loss of his maternal grandmother, his lifeblood, less than a month after his birthday, to feelings of rejection in baseball, basketball, ball games due to lack of athleticism, always being the last picked or never chosen at all, to his family's happy home slowly disintegrating away, less than a year away from parental separation with divorce right around the corner in the next year, to fears about his fate in society regarding his race, emotionally disturbed after seeing the movie Stir Crazy. No one was aware that seeds of self-hatred were planted and begun to take root inside his fertile, precocious mind, loathing his racial identity, questioning his purpose for living at such a young age, sometimes falling asleep to silent prayers to God, begging him to not wake up the next day, but finding disappointment when opening his eyes in the morning. There are no words I can say to either heal his soul or alter history. But pushing past the pain, looking on the flip side of the emotional coin, I see and acknowledge the joy inside his brown eyes, joy that inspired me and continues to do so 4 decades later. And if there's anything I can and want to say to my 10-year-old self, it is thank you, Bill. Thank you for finding your voice through artistic expression, from being influenced by watching Empire Strikes Back, studying Greek mythology, and reading Marvel Comics. Thank you for never letting me forget about our maternal grandmother, our lifeblood. Although she is with the ancestors, she still lives inside our spirit, and we are her legacy. Thank you for coping with both loneliness and rejection in your pre-adolescence through imaginary friends, despite being teased by family members for playing with your fingers. Thank you for gaining strength to cry many tears, despite your father's attempts to stifle your emotions, especially at his Uncle Fred's funeral, because Dad didn't want to address his agony. Thank you for discovering pride in yourself as a black man in later adolescence and early adulthood years after reading Ralph Ellison's Invisible Man and the autobiography of Malcolm X. Thank you for waking up each morning to unanswered childhood prayers, recognizing there's a purpose for living and the best is yet to come. You, young prince, are and will always be this king's hero. Without you, I would not be the man I am today. Thank you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wow. Dope. We have some flowers for the homes.
Man. I had a memory, Bill, while you were reading. I remember the time my mother came home with a book. She gave me this book, and I believe the author was Nathan McCall. Make Me Wanna Holler.
Yes, Nathan McCall.
Yeah. So, just everything that you touched on, how vulnerable you were. Mm. I don't know why that book came to mind. I mean, I don't really remember what was in it, but I'm remembering the fact that my mother picked this book up and felt that me, as a high school, you know, young black man, that this was an important book for me to read. And I kind of felt that listening to you talk, like, this is important, like, that what you opened up about and what you shared.
Mm-hmm.
And especially anybody who's a black man and listens to that, they're going to get something from that. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Dad.
Absolutely. You know, this is a very, very powerful piece for two reasons that I see. It being very therapeutic to be able to speak on what you've gone through. And another thing, I myself call it shadow work. And in order to do shadow work, you have to be vulnerable. It takes a lot of strength to face that younger part of you, especially when you've been traumatized and you've gone through, I mean, all of us as children have gone through something that devastated us at one time in our young lives. But to go back and be able to open up and speak to your younger self and celebrate yourself, thank your younger self for getting through whatever it is that you had to endure. This piece is very, very powerful, and I appreciate it because I'm still doing my shadow work. So I don't know. I don't remember what you said this was called, but it sounds like it should be called shadow work, because that was really, really dope. Thank you for that.
Thank you. No, it's called 10.
Okay. That's right. You sure did.
Yeah. Well.
Pretty good. Anyone else before we move forward?
Now, I just...
Go ahead.
I'm always impressed by the clarity that you come up with in your piece. That, you know, like she said, that it's difficult to go back into that childhood place and get clear about those things that happened and what they've meant to us. And so that whole thanking your younger self for all the things that his experiences brought to your life as a man, that's extremely powerful. And mm-hmm. recognizing that experience as your hero.
Thank you, Afro Queen. No, thank you, because everyone, I appreciate that. I always hate those prompts. What would you write to your younger self? And because you can't really say, you can't change history, or what can you say? But it's just like something you touched upon, looking at what has happened and just really thanking, you know, the resiliency. And I remember sharing that with one of my closest relatives, who's my godmother. And she just, after she was done, she just looked at me and said, shit. Like, totally speechless. And it spoke of, like, her comments was, like, my resilience of what I've been through. And we've all, you know, we all go through things. Danielle said that, you know, we all deal with trauma, but how we deal with it and how we address it, that's who we, it mm-hmm. can either make us or break us. And I don't want to take up any more time. But thank you all.
Yeah, I want to say, Bill, I just want to say I love how you write. I love your storytelling. It unfolds in my mind cinematically. Like, I could see, like, images mm-hmm. of the story as you read. And like, maybe even, like, expanded, like, in my mind, like a movie. Like, I've seen this. I know what's going to happen next, but I don't, so I'm listening. And I think it's very powerful to be able to look back and to write that way. And I love the way you just talked to your younger self. I love that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Queen Peace.
I'd like to just piggyback on what Queen Peace said real quick. I don't know, Bill, like how much into the world you want to let that go, but if you ever do get a chance to do like a, you know, like a video phone, because of what Queen Peace said, that could be a very powerful thing. And I'm thinking just like when you did, remember when you did your life story, the six words, how you had the pictures? I think that works well with that, you know, the, like just Polaroid snapshots of what you're talking about. So just want to put it in.
All right, cool. All right, so now we're going to move forward. We're going to go from Bill to she comes to me as a rare epiphany. Rare, are you ready?
I guess as ready as I'm going to be.
Okay, the mic is yours.
Thank you. So many choices, but for some reason, this piece popped up, and I'm going to honor that piece. Roller coasters have never been my idea of fun. While everyone screams and laughs and giggles after drops or anticipates the moment when you're teetering at the top or just sat waiting to hit rock bottom, but we never did. We hid our fear inside the faith that it was all deception. We never questioned our safety or if we would live to ride again. The ride ends exactly where it began. My friends stand on shaky legs, happy, thrilled, but not me. I am filled with disappointment and anger. What good is danger with no destination? Why give me hope and fill me with anticipation and take me so high my fingers almost graze the infinite sky, and I almost believe in miracles again. I almost believe love will win in the end. Wait, when talking about roller coasters, the descent always catches me off guard. Even when I've been here before, even when I've tried to ignore the warning in my gut, the fluttering of my heart when the teeter-top stops and we drop like tears, like wait, like calls that don't come anymore, like the floor from beneath me when our we becomes I, and I'm not quite sure why, but I was talking about roller coasters. And how when the ride is over, I am no closer to a new beginning than when I last began, and I am left standing in the same damn place I started, brokenhearted and afraid and jaded because everybody's so happy that I made it through something so big and so bad, like the point is simply to survive, no prize to be had, no consolation, just the frustration of being aimed at a sky that you will never reach, then thrown to the ground just to teach you that you can't win, but at least you didn't die. Why tell me you love me? Promise me you won't hurt me. Take me so high I believe the sky could be mine, that real love could actually be something truly for me, only to stop and teeter-tot me, suspend and then drop me to a fate that mercilessly doesn't kill me, just propels me back to the ground where I started, even more brokenhearted than I was when we met. The dream I dreamed, no closer. Wait, I forget. I was just talking about roller coasters.
Wow.
Wow.
You see, that's what I'm talking about right there.
That's right.
You know what? It's a reason why I call you my peaches. You and I know. Okay, I'm going to leave it there. But tonight, I'm going to go back to your pen name, which is Rare Epiphany. You are such a powerful writer, an amazing poet on top of it, and you are an entertainer. You're a performer. And I could listen to you. I could watch you. I could listen to you for hours on end, literally, because you never come with the same thing, for one, okay? And your energy is always, it's at a very high vibration. And I appreciate that. That piece, the teardrop in your voice while reading this, it grabbed a hold of me, and I'm like, I love it. I love this. Thank you. Goodness.
Thank you.
I'm telling you, Rare, like your energy level is always over 9,000. I mean, it's just the substance, like the subject matter, the substance of it, the rhythm of it, the flow. It's interesting because Brother Mojave might probably know what this is, but sometimes I see these like the videos, like when they're breaking down a rapper like a Kendrick Lamar or something. And they'll show you, it's like mm-hmm. it's color-coded, and it's showing you, like, all the internal rhymes, little ball is bouncing. That's what I'm visualizing when you just teeter and tottering and hipping the hopping and
Thank you.
Wow. I know some people were. I know we're running short because time ran up on us, so we got to get this right. So let's just let one person give flowers, and we're gonna get through. So now, let's see, Way Flynn, are you ready?
Yes, sir. I'm ready.
The mic is yours.
Going back to one of the prompts we had, it was I forgive myself. I forgive myself in bits and pieces, in bite-sized chunks that I can swallow without choking on the magnitude of the task at hand. I forgive myself temporarily for periods of time that allow me to unclench my judgments and forget for a little while that this is all my fault. I forgive myself with slow time release capsules of grace that stretch out my absolution, thinly spreading the veneer of amnesty over vigorous objections telling me I'm unforgivable. In other words, it's hard for me. It's a constant labor of love for me. It's travail, endeavor, and industry for me. A process of manufacturing my pardon out of the raw materials of my mistakes and misunderstandings, and the work of finding a responsible way to dispose of the toxic fallout of the procedure. That is to say, I'm not very good at this, but I am committed to remembering the flawlessness of my divine design, to embracing the fullness of my purpose, and the ways in which I was created to perpetually ascend and expand and make fuel of the carcasses of decaying misconceptions, broken dreams, and mishapen perceptions, to forgive away any lies or truths that no longer serve my highest purpose. Suffice it to say, I forgive myself constantly. They say practice makes perfect. And that's the piece.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
She tried to kill me that morning with this piece. I didn't think I was going to make it that morning. That piece right there from the first lines of the chunks, like you're trying to swallow it in pieces, and it's just, it's visceral. It's gorgeous writing, and the sentiment is so felt.
All right. Amazing. Utterly amazing. So that we don't run out of time, we're going to move from you, Feast. Queen Peace, can you do a poem? Huh?
Oh, you ready for me to do a poem? Okay.
If you can,
and
I understand.
Okay, hold
on. Don't break too hard.
I was looking at the Sunrise Scribe stuff. I think I want to stick with the Sunrise Scribe prompt because
I think I want to stick with one of those. And the one that I'm referring to is from Tuesday, September 27th. How do I experience softness in my life? That was the problem. When I think of the word softness, a cascade of words flow like a waterfall. Softness, gentleness, kindness, patience, understanding, grace, mercy, another chance, non-judgment, acceptance, rest, love, healing, deliverance, hug, peace, silence, stillness, waiting. Water is my savior when thirsty, food when hungry, warmth when cold, hope when experiencing despair. Many life experiences, harsh and cruel, met the standards of mercy and love. Though flooded through my barricades, has faced my yielding spirit, the triumphant one, full of wisdom and life. Pathways unfold, possibilities explode, like sparkling stars in my galaxy. This softness is a light feather, floats on the unseen but very present wind. The life giver always gives life. My big mama's handkerchief went cold at church. My sister's angelic voice that made me cry in submission to the Holy Spirit. My childhood faith renewed by that soft, still voice awakening me to hope. The many times I almost died, but angels tended my body, gently healing me, miracles. The times when I cried myself to sleep and woke up with prayerful and supplications on my lips, followed by a heartfelt gratitude and insightful revelation that empowered me to move forward. When doomsday nostalgic magic overcomes me, faith with unified feathered wings covers me and lifts me up. These soft feathers, full of strength, power, and unity, accomplishing one goal, lift me up. The softness of my life has met me in strange and common places. What can a mountain say to me? All troubles. That's how I experience softness in my life. I have learned how to suffer less. And by doing so, I found calm waters for my thirsty soul.
Yes.
Oh, my God. That line hit me the way it did the first time. She said, what can a mountain say to me? Nothing.
Woo!
Lord, mercy.
Wow. Flowers?
Amazing.
Because I've watched her, I've watched you, Queen, in your journey to cultivate peace intentionally and authentically in your life. I hear the reflection of all that work that you've done, all that introspection, all of that intentionality in that piece that says, I choose how to move through this life, and I recognize the power that I have. And that is so beautiful and striking. But that line is, there's nothing that's perfect. What can a mountain say to me? Nothing.
Yeah.
It floors me every time.
Thank you.
And I want to just give one more flower. I have to. I'm sorry. Because she, Queen P, came, and when she started to come, I was like, okay, it's great. We didn't really know each other like that. And I was like, oh, it's so nice of you to come. Thank you. I hope you'll come back. Don't you know she never stopped coming back. She never stopped coming back. She has been you have been so supportive and so loving and so caring, and you just continue to pour into the space, and I am so, so grateful for you for that.
Thank you. Like I said, it's my anchor. My anchor provides me an opportunity to really sit down and reflect on my thoughts. And the prompts are amazing. The prompts are amazing. That came from your prompts.
How do I experience softness in my life? That's what came out of that morning. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Mom. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
I think I'm ready to go.
We're going to go for Well, it's on you, Dennis.
Okay. So we have official prompts at Sunrise Tribe, but there's also some unofficial stuff that happens just in conversation. So this is literally the freestyle spoken word piece that came out of a conversation. And this is titled In Defense of Ghetto Walmart. In Defense Ghetto Walmart. How one. Definition. What is a ghetto? Now, you may say, oh, let's go to Merriam-Webster. But I would tell Merriam-Webster to kiss my ass. But I'm not going to tell them to do that because they're dead, and that would be reverse necrophilia. But I'm going to say this. If you go into that book, the dictionary, the English dictionary, all of those words come from Greek and Latin, and all of that Greek and Latin comes from Africa. So I'm going to just skip past the definition and go to the indoctrination. The fact that you think ghetto Walmart is this bad place. That's low-hanging fruit. You see, the baddest part of Walmart is not the location. It's at the top. It's the Walmart family. So if anybody was really bad, it's not the location of Walmart, people who run Walmart, people who don't pay their workers a living wage. But we're not going to get into that because I don't want to get assassinated. Okay? Let's go to aisle number five. I was having a discussion with a friend. We were talking about the revolution, where the revolution might happen. And I suggested to her that the revolution just might happen in ghetto Walmart. Oh, and she was in disbelief. She was incredulous. So she challenged me to prove that the ghetto Walmart could indeed be the place where the revolution takes place. So, and those sirens in the background are just special effects. I went to the expert on where the revolution will happen. I went to Brother Gil Scott Heron because that's the person who will tell you where the revolution will and will not take place. And I listened to The Revolution Will Not Be Televised. And I listened to it multiple times, but something was missing. So, you know, I went and looked for an alternative version, and I found a rare version of The Revolution Will Not Be Televised that actually has more parts in it than what you have normally heard. And in it, Brother Gil Scott Heron says, the first place that the revolution takes place is in the mind. And if that's true, if the revolution takes place in the mind, well then damn it, if my mind is inside ghetto Walmart, that means the revolution can take place inside ghetto Walmart. And if my mind and your mind and her mind and his mind is all in ghetto Walmart at the same time, well, then now that's hive mind. And that's a revolution. And let me tell you something else. You can't tell me that a revolution don't ever happen at ghetto Walmart. You ever been in front of ghetto Walmart at Black Friday? I'll go even a step further. Them Patti LaBelle sweet potato pies, now, that'll start a revolution. That'll start a revolution. I go to war over them Patti LaBelle sweet potato pies. And I'm going to land my jet engine on this. Patti LaBelle and Walmart have a special partnership, okay? And if there's a special partnership, that means what you say bad about my partner means you saying the bad about me. So if you are telling me that this revolution can't take place at ghetto Walmart, then that means you're bad-mouthing ghetto Walmart. And if you're bad-mouthing
ghetto Walmart. Well, first of all, let me take a step back. There was something I forgot to tell you. We get the words mixed up. People say ghetto Walmart, and what they really mean is ratchet. There's a difference between ghetto and ratchet. Okay, ghetto is a location. Ratchet is a state of mind. And I say all of that now to say, don't be bad-mouthing ghetto Walmart. Because if you bad-mouthing ghetto Walmart, that means you're bad-mouthing Patti LaBelle. And if you bad-mouth Patti LaBelle, if you bad-mouth I love, need, and want you, then you're going to make me get, I'm sorry, I mean, you're going to make me get ratchet. I'm done.
Oh, God. Okay. Okay. not ghetto Walmart. Okay.
It is always bringing it.
I dug that. I dug that. That was pretty dope.
I did not expect that to take us to Patti LaBelle in any way, shape, or form. I did not know that's where we were end up.
But you better have that mouth won't you?
Absolutely true. I want
my
gold.
Do we have flowers for dinner?
On Black Friday.
Say that again?
I said, I know not to go to ghetto Walmart on Black Friday. I know that.
Don't go nowhere on
Black Friday. Yeah, I don't do all that, man. They crazy.
Mm-hmm. Not even worth it.
Wow. So is the alternative version of the revolution will be televised real, or was that a device you used in the film?
Actually, I'm going to find it. I'll post it in the chat. But there is a version, and I think it's a live version, and he does say that there's some additional dialogue in it, and he says that line about the first place it takes place is in the mind.
Mm. Right. You know, I have that on a cassette tape. my late husband loved some Gil Scott-Heron. Okay.
Oh.
I have that.
See now, if we were in Sunrise Scribe, this is where we would commence to having a very deep philosophical conversation about how the Walmart is a place where in the minds of Black folks can stage a revolution, and we'd probably go on for hours, because that's what I really want to talk about right now, but I know we don't have time.
I would like to just point out that Walmart is ghetto.
Oh, okay.
All right. The
Walmart that inspired his poem is in fact quite ghetto, and they would eat all the patty pies.
It's
wow.
It's the ratchetness.
No, it's ghetto.
Well,
Patti LaBelle pies, so it's ghetto. It's ghetto.
I can't believe you really wrote it.
90% of that was freestyle, right? Wasn't it, Dennis?
Yeah, I hope you recorded it, Brother Mojave, because I don't know what I said.
That was amazing.
Well,
Dennis.
This
I like
the
part of it.
Yeah.
Hey, Dennis. Can you hear me? I like the English lesson part of it. I do. The difference between ghetto and ratchet.
Well,
once again, you took me on a journey, and I thank you for that.
Thank you.
Mm-mm-mm.
We're gonna give you the bell, Dennis, because you did the poem. Also, we'll do applause. All right, so, Ms. Melton. Do you have a piece you'd like to share with us?
Yeah, hi y'all.
Hey girl.
Hey
girl.
So Seeley had us do a poem in response to I Know Why Kate Bird Sings in Sympathy by Paul Lawrence Dunbar.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wrote a response to that poem. It says, locked into the laws of man, time taken by his hand, limited by his plan, freedom confined to his vision. What of the bodies lessened by words, brown woman impoverished, refined without autonomy, aspiring for more, forced to pay a toll. Freedom ain't free, they say. It could be if man didn't make it that way. Tariffs and tolls blocking our path. Freedom needs us to do spirit math because we were born into this gift called earth. Can't trace back to the people who decided our worth, the ones who forgot that they were delivered. So it's only fair to deliver someone too, going so far as to police a woman's womb. What happens when freedom stops flapping her wings, laid at the bottom of the cage, panting desperately, resolving there is just no place here for me, releasing her destiny. We would pray for her fight, wouldn't we? Pray that she causes a riot so we can hear her pleas. Pray that she battles incessantly. Pray for humanity to surface in those who hold the keys. What is the sky without birds? Wings waving at the earth, pushed towards the sky. Yelps and chirps echoing, reminders that there is more to life. Unlock the doors. Let God win. Release the arrogance that limits divine wisdom. Release the freedom you want to resound. Freedom is free when faith is found. The end.
Absolutely.
I like what something told about.
Say that again.
I like what something told about.
She said, freedom needs us to do spirit math. Y'all hear that?
Absolutely. 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 I'm a very spiritual person, and I love when I hear pieces about the natural way of things and how we need to release so we can be open to other things. I love that piece. Very, very nice.
Thank you.
That's published ready, Shauna. I love it. It's very full of imagery and power, and the softness of your voice, the way you orchestrated the words, it got the message across. Very powerful message. I love it.
Thank you. I hope you start to feel better.
Thank you. I'm working on it.
You will.
Now, I don't know if y'all realize, but I've been stealing one of Brother Mojave's lines, the land my plane. But I just came up with an origin story for that line. You're flying, and you don't see no bird. You're like, what is the sky without bird? Landing my plane.
Right.
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 That's a good point. I guess I got to round it out because it is 52.
Absolutely.
Have to get it going.
And
so,
not here.
One thing I want to say is Grab allows me to touch memories that I have hidden, pushed away, covered up, kept things away from being, and
it reminds me to be in a space where I can absolutely take some of the most jagged, sharp, trauma-centered pieces of my existence and bring them into the light and feel like I'm okay. So I wrote this in the scribe, and I'm going to read it. And it comes from the prompt when I was about to give up. Mm-hmm. Here I was on Thanksgiving without my family. Thanksgiving being one of the only times that family and food mesh, and I was sitting lonely in my mother's house, wondering if I could get my children out to spend just a bit of time with me. I agreed with my then but now ex-wife that she should let them spend the other half of Thanksgiving with me. I called her after the 4 p.m. time we were supposed to meet. She has my children at this 19-year-old Crip's house with his drug-addicted mother, 10 people living in a dirt 3-bedroom, and said that, hey, we agreed. And maybe I didn't sound like that. My voice was hollow, full of an emotional echo that reverberated weakness. Maybe she sensed this, her yells and the phone spilling anger. In spite of that fillet, and she states to my children, tell your father you don't want to see him. Tell him that you don't want to be with him. Relation seems to excite all those in the background listening. She took it up a notch, screaming that they don't want to be with you. I could not hear my children, and I didn't need to. I felt the first crack of my shell when I dialed on the cell, felt the fissure when she squeezed my triggers, completely imploded as she exploded, mosh pitted my emotions with the potent brew of your children don't want to see you. It was the pressure pushing towards my brain, and with so much pain, I cried a river, bled like a weeping wound. Soon, the devil came in all his doubt to bring you doom, consumer with thoughts that you are a failure and you really don't belong here, that your kids are better off without you. You doubt you have anything or what it takes, the mistakes, this deep-ass fucking heartbreak that stabs your stability, your ability to rise above, and punches you powerfully and makes you forget about love. I was trying to figure out a way to end it, put it, meaning I away for good, feeling worthless, feeling useless, forgetting about my fatherhood. And when I was about to give up, I bathed in my own tears for the rest of that day until sleep took me. I woke up to a song of strength on my laptop. And what do you do when your life plan is shattered? What do you say when the one love you is gone? How do you live? It seems like there's no hope for tomorrow. Pain doesn't care where you live or where you are. It is like, Lord, you see my life is broken and I don't know what to do. While I'm in this change, help me remain. I will count on you. I cried. Lord, my tears were nothing because I was tired, but I cried for what I needed to do, how I needed to push through the fight I readied myself for, and how I pulled myself up from the floor, only to kneel in prayer and grace. In all the tribulations I was about to face, I remember clearly that my spine was not aligned with purpose, not pulling from the surface, but from the deep wells of hidden strength I had residing within.
Come on.
Yeah.
Wow.
Magnificent.
What? Absolutely.
Hold on, I'm trying to gather the pieces of my heart. Yeah.
It's just like your heart just poured out. Your pure heart, pure soul, pure memory. Just poured right out. And I could see it playing like a movie.
Mm-hmm.
It did.
You didn't give up. You didn't give up. And that's the part that makes the poem so special from this side.
Mm-hmm. But to be, to speak to that depth, to be at that depth there and come back.
My thing is like this one. I was trying to switch it to the other thing is like, do you want to go back? It's like, yeah, we're not going back.
I just want to say I had to go put my special hoodie on. I posted a picture of it in the chat. But yeah, listen to that. I had to put my special hoodie on.
All right. Well, before we do that, if you're listening within the sound of a voice, you have 90 seconds to log in. The number is 319-527-6300. We're not going to be on here long, but we're going to get this conversation out, and we're going to keep it moving. We're listening to Official Brain Universe of Flair Entertainment Network, and this is a Fly Speak special edition with the Sunrise Crowd. You got 60 seconds. 319-527-6300. All right, so if you, at that point, let it go, but I love the scribe for, like, us always being able to remember portions of who we are, and humor and jest, and sometimes in our worst situations, and realizing that we got past it. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
We can hear you.
It's just an echo.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Are you still there, Mom?
I'm here. Thank you, Pat.
Hold on a second. Yeah, it's doing weird stuff right now. All right. Never mind.
I was trying to get it to go back over, but because I have my setup going and I think it's looking for my other speaker that's not plugged in. And so it keeps trying to push the sound to the other speaker. And I'm like, I don't know what it's doing. Weird stuff. Anyway, where were we at?
Yeah, just finished your piece. We're also giving you your flowers, man. You're an amazing poet. How? Bam.
But really thanking you for
thanking you for
sharing that, for writing it, for sharing it and saying it out loud and for letting us see you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was very beautiful, Mo, and very vulnerable. And I like how you said, like, some of your memories are pieces of ourselves we maybe forget or don't want to talk about or write about, and how you came with like a very vulnerable piece telling a story, and it's very beautiful, very well written as well.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think when you write a piece like that, when you finally get to the place where you can write it down and then you can say it out loud, that's how you know that you are far on the road to either reclaiming whatever was taken or triumphing over whatever once was broken, because to allow us to see yourself in that moment means that you are stronger now than you've ever been.
Mm.
Absolutely.
This is very
true. We see the you, right, that is now. We see the right now, Mojave, but to juxtapose it against the backdrop of where you came from to get here, to see the pictures and the ways in which you celebrate your children, and to see what I could go through to get to a space of having your children with you to celebrate, it gives much more depth and gives us much more perspective and gratitude for the journey that you embarked on and that kept on, even when you wanted to give up. but you couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Because one of the best things about this crowd, I get to trust y'all with me, and it's like holding up a mirror. Everything that I see within me, I see within y'all, and it's easy to share amongst y'all. And I'm privileged to hear such incredible works and have incredible laughs because, you know, I remember we used to talk about the rocket, and, you know, I laughed so hard.
Oh.
I blame China for the rocket.
It's all her fault. It is her fault.
Yeah,
I'll take the blame. That's fine.
I was gone. The whole conversation, as soon as it started happening, I was gone. I was off to the races. You know, when I get going, I start laughing. I can't stop. And Peace was like, come on. She just kept it going. She's like, come on. But it's like that. It's one of those things that happens where everything else is wrong. But I get to be a fanboy of all your work. And I think that's one of the most important things that happens in Scribe is we really get to experience people. The wine of that, we get to sip the wine of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And we find it absolutely favorable and good for the soul.
Yeah.
Well, thank you
y'all
all.
Y'all making me cry. And I'm a thug, and that bothers me.
Thugging out? I thought you was thugging out. Thug you out. No,
you broke down.
Anyway, because it's during the weekend, it's a school night, and I absolutely have to get this kid off. Is there any final parting words, or will this go around? The word closed out in grand style. So, anybody, any final words as we come to the end of our program?
Yeah,
I said, you know what? You guys are amazing. Every last one of you, the uniqueness, and I thank you for the invitation, the opening to come in. And I will definitely be talking to Mojave about it. But I truly, truly enjoyed myself. And sis, give plenty of fluids, relax, rest, you know, and whatever bullshit is here, it'll be here when you come back. Get your rest and heal.
That's right.
Feel better.
Well, thank you, Mojave.
Thank you
for this, and also Afro Queen. Thank you so much for this platform. Much appreciated.
I just want to say I am in bed. I am taking a lot of my natural stuff. I'm doing my best. I feel better, but I know I've got some ways to go. But I really wanted to be here tonight. I really wanted to be here. So thank you all. Thank you, Mojave. Thank you, Rare, Bill, Dennis, Danielle, don't know you, but thank you. Seaway, and then I was so happy to hear Shauna's voice when she came on the radio. So thank you all. This has been really, really, really great.
Hey, what up?
I say it enough how much I love and appreciate each and every one. You for always giving so generously of your soul and of your spirit whenever we're together, because you are the space. The community is you. And, you know, that I always just pray that you all receive whatever that your hearts and your spirits really require and need, and that we just continue to build this community and allow it to organically become what it's meant to be. And so I just thank you. And thank you, Mo, for taking the time to invite us to your platform as well. You know, I love you.
Hey, love you too. Hey, love my family. Listen,
you
guys make it so easy. Like, and there is a protective thing that goes on with us because, you know, like, it's because we can be, like, there's no other place, I mean, besides, you know, the places, you know, my Tiffany family, my, you know, the tribe, you know, there's no other place that I can, like, literally give of myself. Like y'all remind me because so many people try to pigeonhole me. Like, they go, oh, you just do erotic poetry. That's it. You don't do anything else good. And I'm like, no, I like a whole bunch of other shit. You just don't get to see it because I don't like you. it's okay. I was like, you know, some people, I just like, I don't like you. You're never going to hear it. But, like, I get to feel me, and I get to see y'all, and I get to hear brilliance. It's just something that, and I wanted to bring it over here so that people can understand why, you know, it's a worthy cause that I devote myself to. Because sometimes when I miss it, I feel bad because life be life, and it just kind of pisses me off sometimes. But when I'm there, I'm there. And it's like, and it's always, like, it's always more than worth my time. It's fulfilling. So I hope you feel the way that I feel. And I just wanted to make sure that, once again, I'm bringing one family to my other family so that my other family can understand what I'm doing. You know, because one of these days, I'm going to get everybody on the same page so I can just stand still and let the world move around me. Everybody move around me. And I'll be like, everybody's here, you know, cause,
yeah.
You know, if I was a billionaire, yeah, I'd build like a whole development where everybody have all the houses that they need, and we'd be in the same town and city, so we didn't have to go nowhere. We just like each other, so every time we go to the supermarket, we'd be like, "Hey, Sam, what's going on? Wouldn't that be done?
That'd be wonderful.
Yeah, it'd be nice."
And be like, you know, Sean would go to the paint supply store. He'd be like, yeah, I'm going to the paint supply store. They'd be like, how come you don't have to pay? Because I live here.
There you go.
Yeah. Right. That's how so people come to the town. They'd be like, how come none? Why are these people not paying for stuff? Because they live here. That's why.
Wow.
Your taxes pay for them. Yeah, what about you? It's like, this is a form of discrimination. I know it. Yeah, we are discriminated. We live here. You're going to pay us back for what you did to the coal brush.
I'm doing every day.
They'd be like, oh, so how come none of these people have to pay for the theater? Because they live here. So you know, that would make people mad, too. They'd be like, well, how do I live here? You can't.
I'm glad you mentioned theater, though, because you just reminded me. I got to go see Woman King tomorrow.
Oh, ah, yes. Please go.
Anybody got a bootleg version?
Oh, Lord, no.
No, we did
the right way.
At least one time.
I want to go see it, but I don't know if I can.
Oh, baby.
You will be able to.
All you need is
I'll just tune in Thursday and just listen and get the whole details. I won't be able to comment on it, but I'll listen.
Five days.
One of the best things. That's the other thing we do. Our cultural criticisms are so dope when we talk about things. And to share, to share amongst ourselves for like culture is just so fucking high. Excuse my term. Oh, it's after 11. It's so fucking high. So, you know, that's why I'm like Shauna been hitting me. I'm like, yeah. I said, I'm going to need you to hit me some more because I, you know, because you've been just putting music in my head.
She's from Bridgeport, Connecticut. She'll hit you for sure.
I'm a gangster. That's all.
Gangster yes, flower.
Yes, sir. You got the songs I sent you the other day, Mojave?
Yes, I did. Didn't you see? I threw the hearts on that joint. So, listen. I don't care what nobody tells me. I got to be stingy first. I got to listen to it like 500 times before I share it with you. I got to do it. Like, It's bad. I be listening to it to myself. Like, I'm a little bit selfish. I'm going to listen to it 500 times, and then I'm going to pass it on. Because, you know, listen, when I pass my listen, I gave my brother that Marvin Gaye and Mos Def. Oh, my God. He lost his mind. He lost his mind.
It's bananas.
Like, who did this? He's like, who did this? I said,
that's powerful.
I got it. I was like, who did this? Who did this? Who did this? I was like, I can't tell you. I'm just getting secret music. I was like, I'm getting secret music. It's crazy. Sorry. Anyway, good people.
I only send my cousin to special people.
Yes. Thank you. I appreciate it. Yes. And it's very, very dope. Very, very dope. And I'm going to listen to a 500 times first. What?
Okay.
Sorry. I'm just going to be on it. Let me throw my horn on it. Yeah, that's what I'm going to be doing.
All right, Mojave.
All right, good people, loved ones, family, For Real Entertainment Network here, the home base, the soul tribe, the people where we come together. Thank y'all for coming out this evening and sharing your time here on the 15 Radio Universe. We encourage you to take your socks off. A big baby. All right, that's trademark. Patent. All right, so thank y'all for coming out. Thank you for sharing with me, being able to share with my other family, and being able to share with the world through this podcast. I appreciate you. So, Roscribe, you're dope. I love you. You guys are dope. Incredible.
You.
Thank you for coming out, putting it down like I know you would. Thank you for everybody coming out. Thank you, Bill, for rocking out with us. Thank you, Rare, my twin soul piece. Thank you, Queen Peace. Get better, please. Thank you, Dennis. Thank you, Gangsta, Shauna T. Melton. Thank you for coming. Thank you, Danielle, for sitting through us with it. Van, I know you didn't raise a hand. Well, we saw you. D, we see you. For real. Boss Man, hold on. Let me just open this. Boss Man, he's probably on the plantation, though. Boss Man, you there? Hey, Boss Man, you there?
Who, me?
No, not you. I'm talking about CEO of this network. Van, are you there?
What's good, Javi? What's good, bro?
What's good? I forgot to do. Well, number one, did you enjoy yourself?
Oh, man, this is a great show. Absolutely.
All right. So you know what I forgot to do? I forgot to find out what's happening for the rest of the week in the 15 Radio Universe. Would you mind doing the rundown, sir?
Sure. I could do that for you, bro. Ladies and gentlemen, join Epiphany Radio tomorrow night for the Erotic Love Zone with your hosts, Ms. VIP and La Perla La Negra. Thursday night's The Get Down with J-Rob, the wise son, and yours truly, Poetic. Friday night's Renaissance Poetry with your hosts, Keith Eric, Kimbrella Renee, and Trisha Stansberry running the event page. Saturday night, y'all, is going to be Let's Talk About It, where we do date night differently with yours truly, Poetic. Sunday night's going to be Sunday night. I'm just kidding. The Inspiration Factory with your host, Paul Sampson, a.k.a. Divine Inspiration, and yours truly, Poetic. Monday night, y'all, scheduled is the King and Queen's Quarters with Queen Simmons and King Atterbury. But we might be trying to get a soul cafe with the CEO, so stay tuned. And then next Tuesday night, we'll be right here with Mojave. With Mojave, is it going to be War Council or Honey Dripper? You let the folks know.
It's going. Actually, we're doing a special. We're doing another special Flash Speak open mic featuring the God of War known as Spit Raw.
Nice.
And we're going to have some other special. We're also going to have some other special guests in here, but I can't say it out loud. But it's we're going to have some babies running around here. Drip, drip, drip. The babies. It's over. Soon it'll be over. It's almost over. Probably gonna be running around here rapping, doing wild stuff and stuff like that. Yeah. Spit Raw and the babies. That's what we gonna call them. Anything else is happening? But yeah.
Can't wait to hear it.
All right. Thank you, sir. All right. So now that I've gotten my family together, we have some good poetry. I got my hair did this afternoon. Got that fresh retwist, and your hair's nice and tight and clean. And I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to go to sleep. I don't know how I want this because it's really, really tight. But that being said, I love you guys. Take care. Thank you for coming. God bless y'all. Good night. Thank you for coming. And Queen Peace, please get better. Thank you, Dennis. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Thank you, Gangsta, Sean T. Nelson. Thank you.
Have a good night, all.
Thank you, Rare. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. And
Queen Peace, get better.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2,